So we started Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. We made some major progress here. And we're up to the Sugya of Bishla. So let's see if we can find this. By the way, I was looking yesterday to see if anyone said anything about why Shmuel passing like Rebbe against the Chachamim, that in the case of Klipe Orlo, Kashim Shel Kelayim, the pass is Asura. And if you remember, Shmuel, in order to guarantee that people were passing like Rebbe, he switched it around and he suggested that it was the Chachamim who said that it's Asura. Okay. So we're going to start a sugi called Bishla al Gabi Gecholim. And you'll see this in the second of the wide lines on Daf Chav Zayin Omer Aleph. And what the Gemara is going to do now is going to analyze the Seifa of the Braisa that we quoted earlier. And the Seifa of the Braisa says the following. That the whole issue about the pas, whether since it was heated up and baked as a result of the fire of Klipe Orl of Isuri HaNoah, that only applies to a case where you could look at the Klipe Orla and you could see the Be'en, you could see the essence of the Klipe Orla. But Bishal Gabi Gecholim, but if you took the Klipe Orla and you burnt them and now they became Gecholim, and that means they became charcoal, Divri HaKol HaPas Muteris. In such a case, everybody agrees that there's no Iser in the pas. And presumably the reason for that is that there's nothing left to the Klipe Orla. You're not benefiting from Klipe Orla. Klipe Orla are gone. They're history. However, what we're going to see now is that there are two levels of Gecholim, believe it or not. You could sometimes burn something and It's got still some life to it, so to speak. The embers are still resulting from that object that you burnt. So let's see the Gemara inside. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rabbi Yonah's son. So we're going to have a machlokas here, but we don't know who holds what. Chad Amar, according to one opinion, Lo Shanu, when do we learn that the pas is muteris? And there was never a debate. Everybody agrees that you're allowed to eat this bread. Elo Gecholim Omemos. Omemos means that the fire itself was extinguished. This word Omemos is based on a pasuk in Yechezkel. It's interesting how the Gemara sometimes uses a word which it borrows from Tanakh. And in the pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, "Arozim lo amamuhu," which means "lo hichshichu es mar iso." So apparently, what you still see is something is in the case of omamos is the opposite. So the pasuk there in Yechezkel is saying "lo amamuhu." In other words, it didn't yet turn black. "Lo hichshichu es mar iso." So you have an Eitz Erez, which I think in English is called a cedar tree, and even after you burn the tree, you still see the maris, you can still see the Erez, you can identify it. That's called Lo Amemuhu. But we're talking about a case of the opposite of Gecholim Omemos. Omemos means that they turn black. So when you look at this cluster of coals, what you see is black coals. It means that whatever was left to the coal is completely gone. And therefore everybody agrees now that if you use these coals that originally were created from Klipe Orla to burn to bake your bread, then it's mutter. But then there's a stage which is a little bit earlier than Gecholim Omemos. And that's called Gecholim Lochashos. Now the word lochashos means to whisper. Okay. Now what is lochashos? What does it mean literally they whisper? So the translation here of the word lochashos, which you'll see in Rashi, Gecholin Boaros, meaning that it hasn't yet turned black, and there's still something burning. And if there's still some essence of the original substance that's burning, that's called klipe orla, or kashim shel klaya kerem, that's isuri hanoa. And therefore, asurim. Now when it says asurim here, keep in mind that that's only true according to Rebbe. The Chachamim don't accept the principle of shvach etzim v'pas. But according to Rebbe, who accepts that principle, then since this pas was baked as a result of the klipe arla, then the benefit that you have from the klipe arla is in the pas itself. Again, according to Chachamim, ein shvach etzim v'pas. What it means is that the fire is a separate entity, even though the fire is attached to these gecholim baros, or lochashos, as the Gemara calls it. But nevertheless, it's attached to the klipe arla, but the fire is a separate entity. In other words, whatever benefit you have in the baking of the bread is from the fire itself, not from the origin of the fire, which in this case is Isuri HaNoah. But according to Rebbe, as we've seen, Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas, which means that we assume that the Isuri HaNoah are now generating this baking process. And as a result, when you eat this baked bread, you're benefiting from klipe arla, from isuri hanoah. So according to Rebbe, there is a principle called yeshvach etzim v'pas. And the Gemara now is addressing the following question. Would that principle apply even in a case where the klipe arla were turned into gecholim? And the Gemara says yes. If there's a middle stage where the gecholim are still burning, then we view it as if the klipe arla are still generating this fire. It's only when the gecholim get to the stage of omamos, or what he calls black hechshichu, and it's black coals. So that basically the coals are, don't have any, shall we say, origin of energy, because there's no energy left from the klipe arla. They're completely burnt and consumed. At that point, Rebbe would agree that you could eat the pas that was baked on gecholim omamos. So again, the gecholim are still a little bit hot, but they have no resemblance whatsoever to the original klipe arla that were burnt. And therefore, if you would put your dough on top of these gecholim, in the case of omamos, even Rebbe would agree that it's okay. But if it's gecholim lochashos, and there's still some entity left, so the heat is now still being produced by the gecholim, in such a case, Rebbe would say it's us. That's according to one man d'yomar. We don't know which man d'yomar, we can't identify him. V'chad omar, and according to the other man d'yomar, afilu gecholim lochashos nami mutarim. Rebbe would be matir even in the case of lochashos. And the reason for that is, even though there's still baros, as Rashi says on the last line on the Amud, but nevertheless the baros is a result of the process of kvar hisba'er. In other words, even though the gecholim are still alive, but nevertheless the klipe arla are gone. So the Gemara says the following: Bishleim, I understand leman diomar lochashos asurim. The reason for that is the yeshvach etzim bepas. It means that according to Rebbe Shita, we see a benefit through baking your bread from the isuri hanoah, from the klipe arla. And that we can still see in the case of lochashos, because it's the klipe arla that are producing this heat, this fire. Eloman diomar afilu lochashos mutaros. If you're going to tell me that even when you took the klipe arla and you burnt them, and now they're producing heat, there is still reason to assume and define the Klipa Yehoral as being gone, they're out of the picture, so to speak, is Pasti Osar Rebbe, I'm adding the word Rebbe, right? And Rebbe is of the opinion of Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas, that when you bake a bread over Klipa Yehoral, the fire that was produced by Klipa Yehoral, the pas is also the Rebbe Hechavish Kachasle. So tell me, in what situation would you define an Iser Hanah? Because it seems that already at the early stage of burning, when the Gecholim are still Lochashos, so they're very much alive, Rebbe, according to this Mandi Omer, would still be Matir the pas. So when and under what situations is Rebbe Oser? So now, before we get to Rav Papa, let's just make the following statement. I'm going to make a bold statement here. That according to Rebbe, if you're going to bake your bread on Gecholim, meaning that the Klipa Yehoral now have become coals, then there's no issue of Shvach Eitzim B'Pas. The Klipa Yehoral are gone, even in the early stage called Lochashos. So the Gemara now wants to know, so when did Rebbe make his statement that Yesh Shvach Eitzim B'Pas, and therefore the Pas is Asura, Omer HaPopak Shavuka Kenegdo? He doesn't bake his bread on Gecholim, but rather there's a distance, a separation between the Pas, let's call it the Isa, meaning the dough, and the Klipa Yehoral. This is up here, and this is down here. It's not that he places the dough on top of the Gecholim, but rather he places the dough vertically higher than the fire that's coming out and being produced by the Klipa Yehoral. That's called Kshavuka Kenegdo. So what happens is, there's a fire that's burning from the Klipa Yehoral, and now he has an oven, right? So he opens up, there's a hole in the oven in which the fire goes up through that hole and heats up his dough that is laying on the top part of the oven. Let's talk about two different types of ovens. You know, in a classic oven, what happens is you put the dough inside the oven and the dough is completely covered on all sides and the oven is heated up. The oven in that case is heated up by gecholim, by coals. So on the bottom of the oven you have a layer of coals. They're hot coals. They generate heat. And then he bakes his bread within the contained area of the oven. Is that not the way we understand it? But there's another type of an oven. We might call it a cooktop in our language, I don't know, where there's a source of heat coming from inside the oven that goes through an opening on the top of the oven, and you place your food, in this case your dough, to be baked on top of that hole, of that opening. And that's called avuka kenegdo, meaning he's burning klipe orla, which are isuri anda. The fire shoots up from the klipe orla, and it goes through the opening of the oven. And in this case, when he bakes his bread that's laying on the opening, the Eitzim, meaning the Klipa Yehoral, whatever the trees, remember we discussed about a tree that was worshipped and has a din of Isuri Anav Avodah Zorah, Adayin Kayomim. At this point, you haven't even converted the Eitzim into coals, even the first stage of coals, which we said was called Lochashos. You're not even up to that stage yet. But literally the fire is coming straight out of the Klipa Yehoral of these Eitzim, and the heat of the and the fire itself is going to bake your dough. And at this point, Rabosai, we're going to turn to Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. And the Gemara now has a diuk, you know, to try to understand this interpretation of Rebbe. Because if Rebbe holds Yeshvach Eitzim B'Pas in the case of Avuka Kenegdo, then by definition the Chachamim who say that Ein Shvach Eitzim B'Pas, that the dough that was baked through these Klipa Yehoral is mutter, then when you have the bread, Michlal Durabonon Pligi Alei Afilu K'Shavuka Kenegdo, That means that the Rabbanon disagree with Rebbe. Okay, in the case of Gecholim, the classic kind of oven situation, that we can understand. Even Rebbe says that the pas is muteres, because the klipei arla, the Isuri Anof, now transformed into Gecholim, and they no longer exist in this world. But in the case of Avuka Kenegdo, where the heat that's baking this dough comes directly from the wood, and the wood is still alive and well, it's burning, why wouldn't the Chachamim agree that in this case there is Shvach Eitzim B'Pas, that certainly the Pas is being produced, the dough is being baked as a result of the Isuri Anah, these Eitzim, this wood, that are Asur B'Anah. In other words, the Gemara now at this point says the following, that the only way that you could justify Ein Shvach Eitzim B'Pas, and we'll soon see a distinction between Doraisa and Darabonim, so that's going to be another variable in the equation, is if you assume that the Klipei Arla, the Eitzim Shel Avodah Zarah, completely gone. That's called Gecholim. And that we understand very well. But if the Klipei Arla is still alive and well, and just producing a fire, and you heat up your dough with that fire, then everybody should agree, even the Chachamim should agree, that Yeshvach Eitzim B'Pas. And here you have a Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Michlal, a very long and complicated Tosfos, in which Tosfos presents the theory that in the case of Avuka Kenegdo, it's considered, according to Rebbe, that these Eitzim, the wood, is generating, is causing the Afiyas HaPas. Why? Because the Eitzim are still alive, as we said before, in the case of Avuka Kenegdo. And Rebbe can only agree when it's Gecholim, if in the next stage, if you heat up your oven with coals, and even these coals were produced by the burning of Klipei Arla, only then would Rebbe say it's Mutter. But now the Gemara wants to assume that the logic of Rebbe is so compelling in the case of Avuka Kenegdo, where the Klipei Arla Dayan Kayomim, they're still alive, even the Chacham should agree that the pas is Asur, because the benefit that you get when you eat the pas is from the burning of Klipei Arla. Hence, you violate Isuri Adnah. Now, one thing that confuses my mind over here, but I'm not sure if I should confuse you as well. Maybe it's bad enough if I'm confused. You remember that we discussed an oven when it was used for the first time, right? So the manufacture of the oven was from earth, from the dirt of the earth. And they needed a process called tziruf. They needed to fire up the oven in order to solidify it. And on the first burning, we said that, according to one opinion, the Klipei Arla, if they used on the first time that this oven was ever used, the oven now became solidified. It became functional as a result of the Klipei Arla. And that's called Yutatz, if you remember. Yutatz means you have to destroy the oven. But even the Mandioma who rejects that says Yutzat. Yutzan means that you can't use this oven to bake your bread at that moment until it cools off. Now, presumably, we're talking about a case of Gecholim, meaning we're not describing an Avuka Kenegdo situation where you have an opening and you place your dough on top of the oven, but rather the dough goes into the oven itself. And now the Gemara is telling me, and nobody seems to raise any objection to this, that everybody agrees that you can't use this oven as long as it's still hot from the Klipei Arla. Now that heat from the Klipei Arla is coming from Gecholim. So I don't know why you would have to wait till it cools off. Because even Rebbe agrees in the case of Gecholim, the Klipei Arla are gone. They no longer exist. So that's something that bothers my mind. So the Gemara says, Ella, and now here the Gemara is going to introduce another element in the equation, and that is a distinction between a Doraisa and a Darabon. So the Gemara says the following, Ela Eitzim di Sura l'Rabbanon Hechi Mishkaches lo Omer Av Ami Bar Chama b'Sharshifa. Now what is Sharshifa? So I'll read to you his translation of Sharshisha. Maybe we can close the door if anyone doesn't mind. you have to sort of give it a zetz, you know, because that door doesn't close automatically. You have to give it a thank you. You have to give it an extra energy. So what is the case of Sharshifa? This is the case which the Gemara claims even the Rabbanon will agree that there's some sort of Isur in Eitzim. Let's try to understand what goes on. Now, let's remind ourselves of the Sugya of Avodah Zarah that we learned, I think it was, what's today? Today is Wednesday. I think it was on Sunday. And the Gemara there quotes a brisa from Avodah Zarah that says, Natal Heimenu Eitzim, if he breaks off branches from an Asherah of Avodah Zarah, Asurim Bahanah, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And it would seem that everybody agrees that when you take these branches, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And it would therefore mean that in the case of Avuka Kenegdo, because again, if you're benefiting from when it's Gechol, and even Rebbe agrees that there's no issue of Isuri Hanos, so you're going to have to say that it's a case of Avuka Kenegdo, meaning where you're not using the Eitzei Avodah Zarah as what? As Gecholim, but rather you're using it because you're benefiting directly from the fire that shoots out. So if that be the case, then we know that everybody would agree in the case of, let's say, Avodah Zarah, that when he takes off a branch from the Asherah tree, he's not allowed to benefit from it. And what would be that case that everybody agrees? Would it be a case of Avuka Kenegdo? We just finished saying that Michlal, let's go over the Gemara, the Rabbanan de Pligiele, the Rabbanan reject Rebbe, and they were Matir the Pas, is Afilu Avuka Kenegdo. They held that the principle of Ein Shvach Eitzin Bepas applies even in a case of Avuka Kenegdo, which means, as we said in the past, that the fire is coming up from the Klipei Orla, but the Shvach Pas, meaning the creation of the bread, is a result of, and it is attributed to the fire, and not to the Klipei Orla. So if that be the case, under what circumstances would the Rabbanan agree that if you take off a branch, Lamashal, from Atze Asherah, then you're not allowed to benefit from it? So in other words, let's just summarize. Before the Gemara introduces this case of Shar Shifa, the Gemara has now concluded that according to the Rabbanan of Rebbe, if you're using wood of Isuri Anah for fire, then under all circumstances, is it mutter? You can benefit from the fire because you're not benefiting from the branch of or the tree itself, you're benefiting from the fire.
But you said if the wood is still burning.
Even if the wood is still burning, because again, the only time that Rebbe said Ein Shvach Yesh Shvach Eitzim Bepas, and you're not allowed to benefit from it, is only in the case where the wood is still burning, which is called Avuka Kenegdo. And the Chachamim disagree, and they say the Pas is Muteres. So what we've done is now, we've excluded all possibilities. In the case of Gecholim, we've said that even Rebbe agrees it's Mutter. And one Mali Omer says, even if it's Gecholim Lo Chashos. So as soon as you turn the Eitzim into Gecholim, even at that early stage when the Gecholim is still fired up, nevertheless, Rebbe agrees that you're not benefiting from the Isuri Anah because you've already converted it into Gecholim, into coals. So in what case then did Rebbe say Yeshvach Eitzim Bepas, and as a result of violating the Isur Anah, no, you're not allowed to eat this bread? The Gemara says it's got to be an Avuka Kenegdo. Well, if it's an Avuka Kenegdo, where the fire is coming directly from the Klipei Orla, then Rebbe is arguing with the Chachamim, or let's say it the other way around, the Chachamim are arguing with Rebbe, and they say it's Mutter, you're allowed to eat the pas. So if that be the case, when is it that the Torah says you're not allowed to benefit from the Eitzim? Because as soon as you burn the Eitzim, according to the Rabbanon, even if the fire is coming directly from the Eitzim, heating up your dough, in the case of Avuka Kenegdo, it's still Muteres. So when do you violate the Isur Anah? And the Brisa says that in the case of Avodah Zarah, if you break off a branch of the Asherah, it's Asur B'Anah. The Brisa is according to everyone. The Brisa doesn't qualify. So the Gemara is going to have to come up with something called Sharshifa. Sharshifa literally is translated as a wooden bench or a chair. It's a kise she'asa mi'etzim. It's a specific type of a piece of furniture. Now, it's either used to sit on or perhaps as a footstool, and he puts his feet on it. In this case, does he need to convert the Eitzim into fire? Is he using the wood of Avodah Zarah or of Klipei Arla? Well, Klipei Arla is not going to help us here, but let's take the case of a branch of an Asherah tree. Is he using it as fuel?
No.
No, he's just hiring a carpenter to take this branch and make it into a tree, make it into a chair or a footstool. Now, when he sits on the chair, he puts his feet on this footstool, he's benefiting from an eitz of Avodah Zarah. And that means that he's benefiting from the original piece of wood. Again, you may reshape the wood, but you haven't converted the wood into fire or into coals. So when the Brisa tells us that Eitzim Shal Asherah, you break off a branch of an Asherah tree, not allowed to have benefit from it, it means from the wood itself. When you're hiring a carpenter to build something, a piece of furniture from the wood. But as soon as Hasek means as soon as he puts a fire, a torch to the wood, and he wants to produce the energy that comes up from the wood, according to the Rabbanon, then he's not benefiting from the eitz itself. He's only benefiting from the fire that comes out of the eitz, and that's called ein shvach eitzim v'pas. Here's where Rebbe disagrees with the Chachamim, and he says that even if it's the fire that's coming out, then you're benefiting from the fire for these atzei asherah. Nevertheless, ein shvach eitzim v'pas. And that's going to be the machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rebbe. So let's just create a little bit of a chart over here. In our table, it comes out like this. In the case of Gecholim, even Rebbe agrees you're allowed to have Hanor from the Gecholim of Atzei Asherah. In the case of Sharshifa, everybody agrees, even the Chachomim of Rebbe, that you're not allowed to benefit from the Atzei Asherah because you're benefiting from the Eitz itself. Where is the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachomim? That's the case where you bake a bread from the fire that comes out of the Klipei Orla, but not from the Gecholim, not from the coals, because even Rebbe agrees that the Gecholim represent a complete change, a complete non-entity of Atzei Asherah. But in the case of Avuka Kenegdo, here's where Rebbe says the fire is coming out of the Klipei Arla, or the Atzei Asherah, and now when you bake your bread from that fire, then you're benefiting from the Atzei Asherah, and that's called Yeshvach Eitzim V'Pas. So Rabbanan say, no, you're benefiting from the fire, and not from the Klipei Arla. Now, although that table covers all the cases of Pas, it doesn't cover the cases of Tanur. What if I heat up my Tanur for the very first time with Atzei Asherah or Klipei Arla? Am I allowed to benefit from this Tanur? So that comes under a different sugya that we covered yesterday, and that's called Zevezeh Gorin. Because when you use the Tanur a second time around, you're going to feed the Tanur with Atzei Heter, and therefore the result of baking or whatever, cooking, whatever you do with this Tanur is a result of both Iser and Heter. So there's the Klipei Arla that contribute to producing this bread, and there is the Atzei Heter that contribute. And since it's a double shutvis, it's a partnership, therefore we hold Zevezegore Mutar. The Gemara says, why is it that one Brisa says the Tanur Yutats, that we have to get rid of this Tanur, we can never use it again? That's Rabbi Eliezer, who maintains that Zevezegorim is Asur. In the case of Siar Shel Chulin and Siar Shel Truma, if they both fell into this mixture, this dough, and the fermentation of making the bread is a result of both A plus B. Let's say, for example, they both fell in simultaneously, or they fell in one after the other, but they're both there at the same time. So here's where Rabbi Eliezer says that you're not allowed to benefit from this pas, because Zevezeh Gorim is Osir. The Gemara thought that that's only in the case of Atzei Asherah, and that's a result of the special chumrah of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, if that be the case, we don't have anyone, we cannot attribute the authorship of Tanur Yutatz to any particular Tanur, and therefore, since we have no choice in the matter, we're going to have to assume that Rabbi Eliezer's sheet of Zeves Egorim is not limited to Avodah Zarah, but applies universally to every single Issa. So now, Rabbosu, we're on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, and we're on the third line down from the top. Boy minei Rami bar Chomami Rav Chizda. This is the sugya of Rav Chizda. So Rami asked Rav Chizda the following question. Now, at this particular moment, we're shifting our focus from Atzei Orla or Atzei Asherah, which is classic Iser Hanah. Now we're shifting our focus to the area of Hegdesh. Tanu Sheisiko bi Atzei Hegdesh vi Ofa bo hapas. He now heats up an oven with wood that's Hegdesh. Now what does that mean, wood that's Hegdesh? As you know, on the Mizbeach they used wood in order to create the Eish HaLa Mizbeach. The wood itself can be subsumed under one of two types of Hegdesh. Hegdesh itself has two, breaks down into two major categories. There's one that's called Kedushas HaGuf. If I have that green fancy one plus an eraser, I'll write this on the board. Does anybody see an eraser here? No. Let's see if we have the old fashioned, this one they taught us in the army. I'm just joking, but nobody left. So we have what's called Kedushas HaGuf. Okay, I don't know if you could read my handwriting here. This is a Dalit. Kedushas HaGuf. And then we have Kedushas Domin. Now the difference between the two is that in the first case, I'll makdish something and it goes on to the Mizbeach. That's called Kedushas HaGuf. Kedushas HaGuf, as a general rule, does not lend itself to pigeon. You cannot transfer the Kedusha from one object to the other. So let's say, for example, if I look at this animal, and Elsie the cow, and I say, Arezu Ola, I can't take its value and transfer the Kedusha from the animal over to the Domim, over to the money, because the Kedusha is in the goof. It's, so to speak, in every single fiber and every cell of the animal's body. But then, there's something called Balas Mum, which means that if this animal, this Elsie the cow, gets a mum, and it's blemished, again, there are various types of blemishes, but if it's a real serious blemish, then it becomes possible in the Mizbeach, it cannot be brought on the Mizbeach, and then it is subject to pidyon. The only thing is that something of the Kedushas HaGuf, a little bit of a vestige of the Kedushas HaGuf, still remains. So for example, even after I was told that Psuya Mendoshim, the animal is still Osur, but what Begizav Avoda, which means I'm not allowed to work the animal or take his shearings off of a sheep's back, but I can eat it. I can shecht it and eat it. That's pidyon in Kedushas HaGuf, which only applies to Psuli HaMukdoshim. If, on the other hand, there's no psul in the karbon, it means it has no mum, then it's Kedushas HaGuf in the most extreme, intense way, and it doesn't lend itself to any pidyon. You can't transfer its Kedusha, it'll always remain Kadosh. Then we have something called Kedushas Domin. Kedushas Domin means where I take an object that I own, whatever it is, let's say I own this table, and I makdish it for the Berek HaBayis. I makdish it for Hegdish, which means that Hegdish now becomes the owner of this object. Here, it's not the object per se, begufo, that became Hegdish, but rather the object as it represents its value, its monetary value in the marketplace. And here's where pidyon plays a role. I can take that Kedusha that's in the Kedushas Domin, and I can shift it over to the money, and I make a pidyon. Okay, so that's called Kedushas Dom. So now you have wood. And he was magdish the wood. He has his own tree, and he cuts down the tree, and he cuts down the branches, and he makes it into Hegdesh. And we're going to see what kind of Hegdesh it is. Now he takes this wood, which is Hegdesh, and he heats up his oven by burning the wood. And not only that, he baked the bread in this oven. So he now, Lechora, has created a bread which is a result of Hegdesh, which was generated by Hegdesh. So the Gemara asks the following question. This is Rami Bar Chama's question addressed to Rav Chisda. L'Rabbanan desharu b'kamaisa, according to the Chachamim, who held in the Machlokas with Rebbe, Ein Shvach Eitzim b'pas, my, what's the din of this pas? Since it was baked in an oven that was heated up by Atzei Hegdesh, therefore the question is, what's the status of this pas? And the Gemara assumes, at least Rami Bar Chama assumes, and we're going to see this even more clearly in Rav Chisda in a minute, that perhaps even though the Chachamim agree, even though the Chachamim disagree with Rebbe, and they hold that if you take Klipei Arlo or Atzei Avodah Zarah and you heat up your oven, the pas is muteres, but maybe there's more room or reason to be machmir in Hegdesh. And the status of Hegdesh is that much greater than the status of Isuri Hanoh in general, like Avodah Zarah or like Arla. And therefore, maybe the Chachamim would agree that in this case, we're going to take the high road, we're going to be more strict with regard to this bread that was baked with Atzei Hegdesh. And that's indeed the answer that Rav Chisda gave to Rami Bar Chama. Amalei hapas asura. You're not allowed to eat the pas. Why? Ma. So the Gemara asks why. Ma bein zo le'arla. Meaning, what's the difference between the bread that was baked in an oven that was heated up by Atzei Hegdesh, and as which you're telling me is asura according to Rabbanan, as opposed to a bread that was baked in an oven that was heated up by Arla? In the case of Arla, if you used Arla to heat up your oven, the Rabbanan say it's mutter. Why is it that if you used Atzei Hegdesh to heat up your dough, it's also? And now Rav is going to come to the defense of Rav Chisda, and he's going to explain and prove, demonstrate that Hegdesh is more chomer than Isuri Hanoh. And in order to appreciate Rava's point, we're going to have to enter into the laws of Bittul. Now, within the framework of Bittul, which means if you have a mixture, a taroves, and you want to know if you could be mevatel the isur, then here the Rabbanon set up an entire hierarchy in which you go minakal el achomer, from the lesser isurim, the more lenient isurim, to the more strict or stringent isurim. And the difference is going to be in the ratio that you need for bittul. So let's say, for example, in the case of, let's say, basar b'chalav or any other isur, if it's on the basic level, if you have a ratio of 60-1, that's enough for bittul. In the case of arla, the Chachamim were more machmir, because Arla is not only Osir Bachila, but it's even Osir Bahanah. And because of that extra element of Chumras Arla, they jacked up the ratio, and you need a ratio of 200-1. So 60-1 would be enough to create Bittul for all Isurim, which I call general Isurim. And then we get to the more intense level of an isur, more strict, and that's called arla. And here we jack it up. It's not enough to have 60 heter against one piece of arla. You're going to need 200 against arla. Now we get to Hegdesh. And here the Chachamim raise the bar, and they completely, shall we say, undermine the law of bittul. There is no bittul. If Hegdesh falls into a mixture, everything becomes osur with an isur Hegdesh, even one against 1,000. So let's read the Gemara. Omar Rava, hachi hashta. In other words, let's now analyze these cases that you analogize, that you have analogy. Arla, where we said that according to Chachamim, if you use the orla as your fuel, the pas is muteres, the bread that you bake in this oven is permissible. That's because orla relative to hegdesh is kal. Where do we see the kula? Because orla has bittel, albeit a high level bittel. We jacked it up in Taylor b'masayim. We need 200 of heter against one piece of orla. But hegdesh afilu bi elef lo batel. And the word elef here, which literally translates as 1,000, 1 to 1,000, it's not batel, it's just symbolic of 100,000 or 1,000,000. It means it's never subject to bittel. So now we see that the halacha is much more machmir, the rabbanim were much more machmir and strict in the case of hegdesh than in any other isur. So even if in isuri ano, when you burn them, you can benefit from the fire, according to the chacham of Rebbe, but nevertheless, you cannot benefit from the fire that was generated by hegdesh, because in hegdesh we're going to be more machmir. Now at this point, we're going to raise a question as to why is it that hegdesh is not batel? Did the rabbanan just say that capriciously, so to speak, or does it fit into one of the rules and principles that govern bittel? So at this point, we're going to try to summarize the Shita of Tosfos the way that Pnei Yehoshua understands it. This is Tosfos, Divra Maskil Hegdesh. And he says that the din of Afilu B'Elef Lo Batil, that there's no bittel in Hegdesh, does not reflect a Chumra of Hegdesh. Is that going to be amazing to you? According to Tosfos' question, if I can find a principle, a rule in bittel, meaning in bittel there are all sorts of restrictions, all sorts of conditions, there's no absolute rule that you can always apply bittel. If I can locate and define one rule within the constellation of the laws of bittel which would justify why there's no bittel in hegdesh, then it really has nothing to do with the hegdesh per se. It has to do just simply with that rule. Hegdesh is now representative of a rule. So what is that rule called, everybody, if you take a look in Tosfos? Excellent. Dabar sheyesh lo matirin. What does this mean? So the origin of this concept is a sugya at the beginning of Masechta Beitza. How many people in this room ever learned Beitza? Okay, it's not an easy Masechta. People think it's easy, but it's very complicated. But the first sugya in Beitza, on Daf Beis Amid Beis, and it goes on for a while, addresses the issue of bittel in nolat. It means that the hen laid an egg on Yontif, and that egg did not exist when we went into Yontif. The Torah says in Parshas Bishalach, Veichinu es asher yaviu. Everything that you're going to use, anything that you're going to benefit from on Shabbos or Yontif has to be prepared beforehand. If it's something that, you know, it's logical and common that we'll use it, we don't have to go ahead and point that finger at every single object and say, oh, I'm designating this for Shabbos. It's an automatic designation. But the exception to that rule is going to be nolat. Because there's no way you can say there's an automatic designation on an egg that wasn't hatched yet. It wasn't born. It doesn't exist in the world. Okay. So therefore, the egg of nolat is asur on yontif. The exception to that rule is going to be in Chutz Laretz, because there you have Yontif Sheni, and there the Gemara is going to apply the principle of Nolda Bezeh Muteres Bezeh. Okay, I'm not going to go into that now. But the Gemara in Beitza wants to know what happens if this egg that was laid on Yontif gets mixed up in a Tarobis. And there are other eggs that were not Nola, they were already born, hatched way before Yontif, they were Mukhan, but now you have one that's Mukhtza, that's Nola, and it gets mixed up. And the Bryce establishes that Afilu B'Elef Lo Batel. Why? Why is there no bittel in the case of Nolad, of Muktzah? It's not because of the special chumrah of mukta, but it's because of the regulations that govern bittul. And one of the restrictions in bittul is that you need the bittul. What do I mean? You need the bittul. You can only apply bittul when you need bittul. It means that if there's no other way of being mati or something that was asur except for bittul, then the Torah allows you to use bittul. But let's say you don't have to use bittul. You can be mati or something if you're patient without applying, without activating bittul. How does that apply in the case of mukta?
Wait till the next day.
All you have to do is wait till Motzei Yontif. So that which is not asur, how should I say, permanently, it's only asur temporarily, and it with the passage of time, if you're patient, it becomes muta. That's called a davar sheyesh lo matirin. And we're not going to allow bittul. Says Tosfos, Hekdesh also is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Why? Al yidei chilul. Now, chilul is a synonym for pigeon. Again, I use the term pigeon, but Tosfos uses a different term, and that's called chilul. So obviously, you are both saying this distinction between two categories of Hekdesh, what category of Hekdesh are we dealing with? Exactly, Kedushas Domin. It means that when you dedicate the Eitzim for Hekdesh, you dedicate it for Berek HaBayis. This would not be the case if they were Atzei Marocha, because the Atzei Marocha have Kedushas HaGuf, and they wouldn't lend themselves to Pidyon. But now we're talking about Atzei Berek HaBayis. Let's say, for example, you have to fix up the Beis HaMikdash, you need wood for that. So that wood is called Berek HaBayis, and therefore it's subject to Pidyon. So Tosfos wants to say the following. You know why there's no bittul in the case of Hekdesh? That has nothing to do with the chumrah of Hekdesh. Rav has no right to wave the flag of bittul, of afil bielef lo batul, to prove and establish that Hekdesh is more chumrah than other isurim. In the case of Arla, there's no way of being mater Arla. You can do whatever you want, stand on your head, you will never be able to be mater Arla. The only thing you can do with Arla is burn it, that's all. However, in the case of Hekdesh, that's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. You don't have to eat it as Hekdesh. What you can do is take money, and you can do a, you know, you could effect a transfer of kedusha from the kedushas domim over to the domim, and therefore becomes a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So then Tosfos says, how does Ravin know? How does he prove that Hekdesh is more chamor? I mean, let's say, for example, the case of mukta. We're not saying that mukta is more chamor, but it's we suspend bittul simply because of the davar sheyesh lo matirin. And if we apply that to the case of Hekdesh, then again, it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So again, let's just summarize. The reason why, according to Tosfos, Hekdesh is not bittul is not because of the chumrah of Hekdesh, but rather because it has a heter al yidei pidyon v'chilul, it becomes a davar sheyesh lo matirin, and in davar sheyesh lo matirin there's no bittul. Ein bo din bittul. So it means that even if you had an iser kal kuf lamed, and if it was an iser drabanan like mukta, nevertheless we would still suspend bittul if it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So the fact that we suspend bittul in the case of Hekdesh does not in any way indicate that it's more chamor. But rather, it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin. So here I want to quote to you, the footnote quotes the Pnei Yoshua. Tosfos doesn't offer any answer to this question. He leaves it as a hanging in the air, as an outstanding question. Says the Pnei Yoshua, Afkan Yesh la pas heter al yidei pidyon v'chilul. Kishem sha'atzei ahegdesh nitarim al yidei pidyon. Kach ha'pas, meaning the bread that was baked from the atzei hegdesh, also lend themselves to pidyon. Because you can't slap a chumrah onto the pas that goes beyond the atzei hegdesh. And you follow what he's saying. The Atzei HaHegdesh have a certain Iser element to it insofar as the Hegdesh. And now you generated a pas through the Atzei HaHegdesh. The pas cannot exceed beyond the Iser or the Chumrah of the Atzei HaHegdesh. And therefore they lend themselves to Pidyon. Umitam Zeh, Yesh la hachmir v'leser asapas kevon sheyesh la heter. In other words, Rav is not trying to prove and establish the chumrah of hegdesh. He's just trying to prove that there is no bittul, and therefore he wants to suggest that just like in the case of hegdesh, classic hegdesh, let's say atzei hegdesh, there is a pidgin, and as a result of the pidgin, it's going to be aser b'tarovas afilu b'elef, and there's no bittul. So too, in the case of the pas, we have that extra chumrah of a davar sheyesh lo matirin, the ein lo heter. So that's going to be the understanding of the Pnei Yoshua. Okay. Now, I'm wondering if I should share with you the Tosa Rush. Is anybody interested in hearing the Tosa Rush?
Yeah. Yeah.
One person, two people, is that enough?
Yeah.
Again, what was the Gemara's question over here? Let's go back for a moment to the Gemara's question. The Gemara wants to know, why is it that in the case of Atzei Orla, the pas that was baked with the fire that came for the Atzei Orla is muteres, according to the Chachamim, and yet in the case of a pas that was baked with Atzei Hegdesh, the pas is Asura, so says Rav Chisda. And the Gemara doesn't understand the difference between the two, between Atzei Asherah on the one hand and Hegdesh on the other hand. So the Tosa Rush asks the following question. Hare Orla, he mi Surei Hano HaNisrafim. What do you do with Orla? The Torah commands you to take Orla and burn it. No, if the Torah commands you to burn it, now you want to bake your bread to the fire of the Atzei Orla Nisrafim, is you're using the mitzvah, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, the Torah tells you that's what you have to do, why can't you allow for the heter the pas? In other words, the Tosa Rush understands that the reason why the Chachamim say that you can eat the pas that was heated up by the fire of Klipe Orla is because of the din of the mitzvah of Sreifa. Mashenkin Hegdesh, Hegdesh is not called Nisrafim, right? We don't burn Hegdesh. And therefore, if somebody used Hegdesh as fuel for a fire, then the pas is going to be Asura. So in other words, according to the Tosa Rush, the Chachamim, even in a case of Yeshvach Eitzim v'pas, right, like let's say for example we spoke about Avuka Kenegdo, and even the Chachamim would agree that there should be Yeshvach Eitzim v'pas in that case. So then he says there's another reason why there would be a heter in the case of a pas that was baked by Atzei Orla. And the reason for that is because the Torah commands you to burn the Atzei Orla. And if that's the mitzvah that I have to apply to burn the Atzei Orla, then once I burn the Atzei Orla, whatever's left is mutter. But in the case of Hegdesh, he says, there's no mitzvah to burn it. Okay. So I just wanted to register that question in the Tosa Rush. Hopefully as we go along in this sugya, maybe not today, we'll be able to answer the question of the Tosa Rosh. Osha, you said you had a pencil that I could borrow from you maybe? Okay, thanks, I'll give it right back. I just want to make sure that I make a note that we want to come back to the Pnei Yoshua and the Tosa Rosh. Ella Omar Rava. So Rava says the following. I certainly have justified the Chachamim that we're going to be more machmir in Hegdesh, and the reason for that is because there's no bittul, but ikashale ha-kashale. In other words, I have a different question, a different objection to raise against Rav Chisda. So if Rav Chisda was based on the fact, meaning the Chacham would agree that as opposed to Orla, in the case of Hegdesh, the pas is Asura, based on the Chumra of Hegdesh, that I can accept, but I have another problem. And that is Halomal Hamasik. Okay. Now, Rabosai, remember we distinguished between Kedushas Domim and Kedushas Haguf. In the case of Kedushas Domim, we said there's pidyon. Well, guess what? And this is a paradoxical halacha. There's another way that I can remove the status of Hegdesh. Not through pidyon, but through Me'ilah. Okay, so now we add a new concept called Me'ilah. Me'ilah, as we mentioned many times in the past, is equal to Gzela. Correct, it's equal to Gzela. The only difference is that Gzela applies to Mamon Shel Hegdesh, you are Mamon, and in the case of Mamon Shel Hegdesh, which is called Kedushas Domim, it's called Me'ilah. It just changes the name in terms of where it applies. And here's where Me'ilah has a very interesting, almost counterintuitive halacha. Me'ilah removes the status of Hegdesh. When a person takes something that's Kedushas Domim and he uses it for his own purposes, then the very moment he uses it, it loses its status of Hegdesh. So there are two ways, again they're on opposite polar extremes, in which you can take Kedushas Domim and completely remove it. One way of removing Kedushas Domim is through Pidyon. That's the right way of doing it. The wrong way of doing it is if you use the object for your own purposes. That's called Me'ilah. Again, there are all sorts of conditions when it's called Me'ilah, when it's not called Me'ilah. But once those conditions are met, then it's Yotzei L'chulin. So the moment that he takes the Atzei Hegdesh, which is Kedushas Domim, and he puts the fire to it, at that moment, the Atzei Hegdesh loses the status of Hegdesh. Why? Because of Me'ilah. So how can Rav Chisda say that when you bake your bread on the top of this oven that was fired up by Atzei Hegdesh, the bread is asur because of Hegdesh and the Chumra of Hegdesh? What Chumra of Hegdesh is there? There's no Hegdesh at all. Hakasha, this is my objection to Rav Chisda. Why should the pas that was baked by the Atzei Hegdesh be prohibited? Halo mal hamasik. Masik means the one who burns up the Hegdesh in order to fuel his and heat up his oven. At that point, he is chayav for Me'ilah. And what it means to be chayav Me'ilah are three things. Number one, he's chayav what's called a karban asher Me'ilah, for those who recite karbanos every day. Number two, he has to pay Hegdesh, not only a keren, he has to add a chomesh. But number three, and this is the most profound repercussion of Me'ilah for our purposes, kol hecha demal amasik, nafku le'ula chulin. The Hegdesh completely loses its status of Hegdesh, and it goes l'chulin, which means that when you steal something, in this case you stole from Hegdesh, you now are the proud owner of that object that you stole. You have to pay its value. In fact, you have to even add a chomesh, an extra 20% of its value. So the Atzei Hegdesh have no Kedush Saguf. It's not like a karbon that's brought on the Mizbeach. We're not talking about Atzei Marocha. There's also another halacha called Klishares. In the case of Klishares, there's Kedush Saguf. In the case of Kedush Saguf, even after Me'ilah, the Kedush Saguf remains intact. There's no Chilul, and there's no Yotza L'chulin as a result of Me'ilah and Kedush Saguf. Why is that? Because as we said before, Kedush Saguf is in every fiber of the object. And even if you steal it, it has nothing to do with stealing. It has to do with the Kedusha. The Kedusha itself is so profound that you cannot remove it. You cannot abrogate it. But in the case of Kedusha's Domim, like Atzei Hegdesh, and the definition of that Kedusha is Kedusha's Domim, the very moment that he lights up the Eitzim, he was Moel, Yischayev Mishum Me'ilah, and there's a Chilul of the Hegdesh, and therefore the pas that is baked as a result of the firing up the oven with Atzei Hegdesh is going to be mutter, because it's not coming from Hegdesh at all. The Hegdesh was Yotzei L'chulin as a result of what? As a result of Me'ilah. So now the Gemara is going to look for possibilities that Rav Chisda was talking about a case of Atzei Hegdesh that had Kedushas Haguf. Now, the first possibility of Atzei Hegdesh that have Kedushas Haguf is going to be what's called Atzei Shlomim. Do you see the Gemara of Amar Rav Papa? How many lines down is it from the top? About 10 lines down? Amar Rav Papa. This is Rav Papa's attempt to justify or to save Rav Chisda. And he says that, Hacha, what's the case of Rav Chisda where the passes are surah because of the hesek of the Eitziv? That's a case where there is no din of Me'ila of Yatzal Lechulin, namely Atzei Shlomim. What's Atzei Shlomim? These were Eitzim that were dedicated for Shlomim, meaning he was Magdish them in order to sell these Eitzim, and as a result of the sale, the money that would accrue from the sale of these Eitzim would be used to bring a carbon shlomim. And in such a case, since the object, in this case the wood, was dedicated for a carbon shlomim, which means that the money of these Eitzim are going to be used for a carbon shlomim, in such a case, the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Eitzim, is the same identical Kedusha as the Karban Shlomim. So it's really interesting. If I were to wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you, how can you take wood and give it a din of a Karban Shlomim? Karban Shlomim is a Zevach, it's not wood. But the answer is, I was Magdish the wood for the purpose of a Karban Shlomim, and the Kedusha of Shlomim is now Chal in the Eitzim. And to such an extent that the din of Me'ila is not going to apply over here. So that's really an interesting concept. Now the Isur of Me'ila is formulated in the Torah in the words Mikdashei Hashem. In other words, he was Moel in Kodshim that were Miuchadim Lashem. And Kodshim Kalim is not called Kodshei Hashem because the Basar is eaten by the Bailim. And therefore, in the parasha of Kodshim, of Me'ila v'Kodshim, Kodshei Shlomim are excluded. So there is no Me'ila in Kodshei Shlomim because it's not considered exclusively Kodshei Hashem insofar as you can eat the basar. Okay. So there is no Me'ila in Shlomim because it's not called Kodshei Hashem, Mikdashei Hashem, and there's no Me'ila in Eitzim that were designated for Shlomim. And all this represents the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar Hegdesh, in the case of Me'ila in Hegdesh, Bishogeg Mischalel, Bemezid Eno Mischalel. In other words, the din that you have chilul as a result of me'ila, that applies according to Rabbi Yehuda only in the case of shogeg. In the case of mezid, eino mischalel. Okay, this is a sugya in Masechta Kiddushin. I remember when I learned Masechta Kiddushin and I got to this sugya, I couldn't figure it out because Kiddushin is so full of kodshim. It's very difficult to learn Masechta Kiddushin. In any event, in the Gemara Kiddushin, which goes on and on for pages and pages, there's a discussion about the difference between Shogeg and Mezid in the case of Me'ila. And suffice it to say for our purposes that according to Rabbi Yehuda, the din of Me'ila, which means that as a result of Me'ila, the Kodshim HaMischala only applies in the case of Mezid. I'm sorry, only applies in the case of Shogeg. So the person didn't realize that this was Hegdesh and he used it for his own purposes. That's called Mischalel. But in the case of Mezid, it's Eino Mischalel. So therefore, in the case of Eitzim, the Hegdesh, the designation of the Eitzim was for Shlomim, then it's not Yotze Lechulin in this Me'ila because of Mezid. Why? B'mezid, my time alone. Why is it that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in the case of Me'ila B'mezid, it doesn't go L'chulin, Kaven D'Lav Bar Me'ila, who, since he was Moel B'mezid, there's no Chiyuv of Me'ila, he's not Chayv of Korban Asham, he's not Chayv of Chomesh, none of the Dinim of Me'ila apply, as far as the Tashlum and the payment for Me'ila, in a case of Mezid. is therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, lo nafik lechulin, that the din that Hegdish is mischal as a result of Me'ilah is limited to a case where there's a chiv Me'ilah, meaning a carbon osham, etc. But in the case of Mezid, where the Torah says you're not chayv a carbon osham is only for a shogeg, where he mistakenly thought it was chulin and it turned out to be Hegdish. But if he knew deliberately and he used it for his own purposes, then he doesn't have the ability of being, the Torah didn't give him the opportunity of atoning for his sin with a Karban Asham. So the whole parish of Karban Asham in Me'ilah does not apply to Mezid, and therefore Lo Yatzal L'chulin Ishlamim Nami. We're going to apply the same logic, says Rav Papa, to Shlamim. In the case of Hegdish of Shlomim, came into Lav Bar Me'ilah Ninhu. Notice the parasha of Me'ilah doesn't apply because it's not called Mikdash Hashem, because the Basar is eaten by the Bailim. Is therefore Onofki Lechulin. So the Gemara gives this analogy between Rabbi Yehuda Shit in Hegdish and the case of Rabbi Papa of Atzei Shlomim. Just like in the case of Hegdish, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mezid, there's no Yatzal Lechulin, despite his Me'ilah. The status of the Hegdish remains intact. It remains Hegdish. Why? Because in the case of Mezid, there's no Chi of Me'ilah. So too, says Rav Papa, by analogy, in the case of Atzei Shlomim, since there's no Me'ilah in Shlomim, and the reason for that is because it's not Mikdash Hashem, is therefore Lo Nafki L'chulim. Whenever there's no Chi of Me'ilah, meaning a Karban Asham for Me'ilah, then it's not Yotzei L'chulim. The Gemara is not happy with this. Just wanted to get to the two dots. Let's see if we can read it quickly, and then we'll go over it again in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Kol Hecha Demal Ha'masik Nafki Lechulin. Is that really true? Is Rava's principle correct? Vatanya, we have a brisa. Kol Nisrafim. All Isuri Anah, that the mitzvah is to burn them. Afara and Mutar. You're allowed to enjoy the benefit of the Afer, of the ashes. Chutz Mi'atzei Asherah. There are two exceptions to this rule. Number one is Atzei Asherah. Even though there's a mitzvah to burn them, nevertheless the Afer is Asur. We'll have to see exactly where Chametz fits into this picture. V'chein, and in other cases, V'Afer Hegdesh. Then in the case of Atzei Hegdesh Li Olam Asur. And you see that there's a special Chumrah of Hegdesh. So B'li Neder tomorrow, we're going to pick up this sugya called Afer Hegdesh. And I'll wish everyone a meaningful fast. Tomorrow is Purim de Prazim. I'll be here. If you'll be here, I don't know. That's up to you. And I hope it doesn't impinge on anyone's ability to give Mishloach Manos, because there's no Mishloach Manos here in Yerushalayim tomorrow. Now, if you live in Tel Aviv and you come here, then it could be that you're chayav in Mishloach Manos. It depends where you slept where you sleep tonight. So if you know a Tel Avivi, or anyone who lives outside Yerushalayim, and you want to invite him over, you should tell him that he should sleep here in Yerushalayim tonight, because if he sleeps in Yerushalayim tonight, then he'll be chayav together with you in Purim on Tesvah. But if he sleeps in Tel Aviv and he comes to join you tomorrow, he might have a double chiyuv of Purim, both Yudalit and Tesvah, which is okay, but it means he has to hear the Megillah not twice, but four times, and he has to give a lot of Mishloach Manos. All right then. We wish everyone a meaningful fast.